Find your Bibles, Psalm 33 this morning, Psalm 33 this morning. Wonderful time in the history to be a Christian. Wonderful time to know the Lord. We're going to talk about this morning America's greatness for just a little bit. America's greatness, Psalm 33. I've used this scripture verse many times, but it's not like you've heard it, so stay with me. Psalm 33, look at verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we're grateful to be here this morning. Thankful for all the many blessings you've given to our lives over the years and even now. Thank you for the answered prayer. Thank you for giving us a portion of life that we see that our life does matter. We do have purpose. We know you have a plan for each and every one of us. And I pray that each one is fulfilling that plan and their destiny that you've given. I pray for America now, and I pray for those godly leaders. I pray that you might use them as an instrument in your hand to bring greatness to America again. And I pray that the evil element that is obviously present, that, Lord, that we've not been able to do anything about for years, it seems, that you'll take within your own hand your own purpose and your own plan and rid us of the evil that plagues our nation. I pray this morning you'll use the message to be a blessing to others, to motivate, to challenge, to encourage each one as a Christian to be faithful and loyal to you, but also make us accountable as stewards over the nation that you've given us. I pray now in this hour for preaching grace and power. I pray for unction that you might receive all glory and all honor. It's in Jesus' name I pray it all. Amen. Be seated. America's greatness. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I don't think anyone can call him truly Lord without knowing him as Savior. And so when we talk about a great nation, we have to say that the foundation of the great nation has to be Jesus Christ himself. There's only been two nations in the history of the entire world in 6,000 years that have accomplished what they have accomplished and have obviously seen the hand of God upon them, and that is Israel and the United States of America. And I think God has blessed America because here was a group of individuals that immigrated to these shores before there was a nation here, and they came to the wilderness. They came to the fruitful land, but they had to cut out a living and make a living. And it was by God's grace and God's hand that he prospered them. I think it was while they were still on those tiny sailing ships making their way here, they made a covenant with one another that they would honor God with all that they did and had, that he would be first in their lives, that they were coming to worship him freely. And so they have done. Unlike many nations who were born out of those discoveries of precious metals or oil or other necessities and desires of life, America was born out of the hearts of men who desired nothing more, nothing less than to be left alone as they worshiped God in spirit and in truth. Jesus Christ, our Savior, shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for the remission of our sins. We thank him every day. It should not be an old story. Yeah, preacher, here you go again. It ought to be fresh in your mind every time we talk about the blood of Jesus Christ. What a sacrifice. What a love that he has and had for us and the rest of the world. I want to talk about America's greatness today. And the reason being is because as a man my age, I've grown up through the years seeing some of the very best that America has to offer. And the last couple of decades, I've seen the very worst that America has to offer. The very worst, the dregs of the bottom, the scum on the top. I've seen the worst of the worst that comes to light in America without punishment, it seems. We start turning prisoners loose and quarantining people in their homes because of a virus. We're doing wrong and evil in America. I'm telling you, when you send those who have contracted that disease and put them, rather than in isolation in hospitals, you put them in nursing homes where it spreads rapidly to older people with pre-existing conditions and kills them by the hundreds, you are a criminal and a murderer. You cannot blame others when you have made that decision, as some of the governors have done in the northern states. America's greatness. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Do you not think that God makes you and I accountable for Him having blessed us so richly? Do you think that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day and give an account of our citizenship of the greatest nation in the entire world and give an account of why we did very little when the scum began to rise to the surface? The only thing that I know that comes to the surface of any value at all is cream when it rises to the top. And I'll take my portion of that. But we're not seeing that in America. We're seeing the scum on the top. We're seeing that green algae, that muddy looking substance that comes to the top of the water when it's been stirred from below. We're seeing the worst of the worst, and we're letting them get by as though we're going to compromise and we're going to make a peace agreement with evil. May I say to you this morning that righteousness and evil can never make a peace agreement and never make a covenant and live together. It's impossible. America's greatness. I read in that verse, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Do you think it was by chance and by accident that the United States of America was born? God gave birth to it, and God put a people there that were using him and loving him and putting him as a priority in their lives like no other nation on the face of the earth. Not even like the nation of Israel. Israel, as a matter of fact, began to worship idols until God had to discipline them in such a manner that he took them off into a foreign land. And it's only been in the last 70 years that they've come back to their own homeland. America. When I see videos of 7-year-old children with Make America Great Again caps on, with pride in their heart and joy in their soul, that America is about to be revived again. When I see that joy and that elation turn to horror and fear because some hoodlums and some scumbags come along and snatch the hat off of a 7-year-old child and throw it away and began to curse and scream and tear up their placards because they were Trump supporters, then it makes me angry and it makes me fearful and it makes me ashamed that I live in the same nation with those kind of people. The First Amendment guarantees freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want. You can believe whatever you want. But don't keep me from believing and saying what I want. America's greatness. America is down at the present moment. America is on one knee. America has been kicked in the stomach and the wind has gone out of her for a bit. But I'm beginning to see around the country and around the nation that some of the good old red-blooded Americans have had enough of this garbage and are beginning to stand up and speak up. The next thing that will happen will be the actions will come forth from their organizations if America's government does not do something to stop this rampant chaos. Red-blooded Americans will do something for you. America's greatness has come from three areas of life, but part of that greatness has been the ability and the willingness of red-blooded, patriotic Americans to stand up and fight for truth and fight for liberty and freedom. And what we're seeing in America right now is Marxism, socialism, that's trying to stamp out my liberty to speak up and get up and do something. They're trying to stamp out my liberty while all the time increasing theirs. There's coming an element. There's coming a day of reckoning. And I fear it's not far off. Listen to this. Today's a great day of opportunity in America for God to manifest His glory and His power, to destroy evil and deliver His people again. I've oftentimes thought about it. God, You're going to hold me accountable for these abortions that are happening. You're going to hold me accountable for the sodomites in the land. And finally dawned on me, we have two Americas. We have a righteous America, and we have an evil America. Just like Israel had a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was evil, and the southern kingdom was righteous. And my prayers are at the present time is, God, just like You can change the course of rivers, You can set kings on their thrones or take them off, I'm praying, Lord, that You restore righteousness to this nation again, because it is built and has prospered upon the blood of Jesus Christ, was built for Your glory, has glorified You by all of the missionaries we've sent forth and all the people that we fed around the world and all the people in those nations that could not fight for themselves. We've had men and women go there and die on those battlefields to give liberty to people that we don't even know because of the greatness of America. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm proud to salute both flags as I stand here today. I could not be a good American if I were first not a good Christian. Someone said one time that anything that makes for a good Christian makes for a good citizen as well. God, do something with the evil element that was within our land. They are anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-America, anti-capitalism, anti-Jesus Christ. Do something with that evil element. Rid us of that. If You want to split our geographical nation some way, somehow, and give them a geographical area, do that, God. But You can just as easily depose them from the throne they are trying to stand up upon. You can just as easily put them in prison. But do something, God. I think there's too many Christian Americans who have given up. because they do not know how to pray or what to pray. They do not know what to do, what to say, or how to feel. They do not have a little bit of spirit of independency that God has given to you and unto me, that I don't follow all of the mandates of man, but I do follow the laws of God. That's where we ought to be this morning. And we will not revive America until you get that spirit within yourselves. We will not revive America again until we're looking to God for the total answer, but yet allowing Him to use us as the instruments in His hands to effect that very thing. Today's a great opportunity in America. Things are horrible here. Absolutely horrible. Make no mistake. They're horrible. They're horrible in Texas, in Austin, in Dallas. Fort Worth tried to defund the police, the law enforcement, and our good governor said, if you do that, you won't get any of the tax money. Praise God for him. I'm telling you, we live in a horrible society and a horrible time. But we live in a day of opportunity. The opportunity for God to manifest His glory. The opportunity to prove to people that once again, He's still on the throne. He's in control. And He puts in who He wants and takes out who He wants. But you know what? He needs to hear your cries for that deliverance. He needs to hear your cries for deliverance. Even as he heard and listened to the people, the Hebrew people down in Egypt, he said, I've heard your cries and I'm here to deliver you. I don't think Christians have cried loud enough and long enough yet. Maybe you're not hurting enough yet. Maybe God needs to turn the whole faucet off where you're financially strapped and you lose everything you've ever had. Maybe then you start crying unto God. Maybe you're blind and deaf and you don't know what's going on in the U.S. of A. at the present time. Look at chapter 33 and look at verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord. The context of the chapter here and the very fact that we look down in verse number 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. He chose us to live in the United States of America. He chose us to be His children. He chose us. And let me tell you, He's going to hold us accountable for what we've done in the U.S. of A. or what we have not done when we stand before the great judgment seat of Christ. Give an accounting as a steward. What did you do in my land to keep it free? What did you do in my land to keep my name above all names? What did you do in my land to repress evil? What did you do? Oh, and then we look in verse 1 and he says, rejoice in the Lord. Oh, there's our whole reason for living. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. Look at chapter 32. Look at verse 7. Notice what David says. Thou, O God, art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Are we in trouble right now? We're in a lot of trouble right now. Preacher, you're being awful negative. I sure am. I'm being truthful, aren't I? I'm telling the truth. We're in a horrible situation and you do not know the direness of it if you are thinking anything else, because this is an election year, yes, but it's more about who becomes president. It's more about good versus evil. We're at a crossroad right now, a crossroad. And evil is going to prevail and darkness take over, or light is going to shine again and righteousness will reign, one or the other. Look, David said, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Songs of deliverance. What is that? Songs of deliverance. What is that? That's hope, buddy. That's hope. That's hope. As long as God's on the throne, we still have hope. As long as God's still ruling and God's still breathing, we have hope. Hope of a better day. Hope of a better year. Hope of a better nation. Hope of better schools. Hope of better families. We have hope. Songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. Listen to verse 9. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. What does that mean? It means a horse is dumb, and he's guided by the bridle. Wherever he goes, he's just jerked around, and you go here, you go here. You're not that dumb. And the whole process is, don't be like the horse or the mule, that stubborn or dumb that has to be led wherever he goes. Look up, lift up your heads, look towards heaven, realize Jesus is on the throne and you have hope. Notice, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, verse 10. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. That's what I'm asking God for. I'm praying every night at 8 o'clock. I'm praying during the day. I honestly am. Every time I think about it. But especially at 8 o'clock at night, I'm praying for our president. You know what? How many of you have seen that video about President Trump's Bible that he got? How many have seen that? Isn't that amazing? Does that make the hair stand up on the back of your neck or what? Revival took place in England after people began to pray, and some of the relatives of Trump, I forget how it is, his aunt or something, came down through that process, and one of the Bibles they used to bring revival in England, and tens of thousands of people being born again and things changing there came as a result of women and men praying together and asking God to bring it about. And one of those Bibles that they used was given to the family member of Trump, and somehow was it his aunt or his mother? Okay. Anyway, he has the Bible. It sits on his shelf behind his chair in the Oval Office. Somebody said, is it by accident that Trump is the president of the United States? He has a lineage. He has forefathers. He has connections to the past. Could it be that God has raised up this seemingly arrogant, wealthy, but independent and strong individual to revive America again? I hope so. He's done okay the first 4 years. But here we are. You know what I'd like to see now? You know, there was a thing that went around when he was running for office, and they were talking about Hillary Clinton, and the chant began to go, lock her up, lock her up. I'm still waiting for that, and I still think it's more of a possibility today than it ever has been. And there's some more. I'd like to see Pelosi and Schumer in there as well. Evil. Well, preacher, aren't you being judgmental? No, sir. Let me tell you something. Here's a way you understand evil between good and evil. On one side of the page, as you draw that line down the center, on one side you have good. On the other side you have evil. And when you began to look at the issues in America, not money issues, oh, but we're going to vote for the one that promised to give us the most. I've heard that all my life. Now it's between evil and good. Well, what is evil and what is good? Good is pro-life, that everyone has a life and everyone has an equal opportunity for life and everyone deserves life. Evil is kill them in the womb. Kill them in the first week. Kill them in the third month. Kill them in the sixth month. Kill them 1 hour before they're born. They wanted to kill them 1 minute before they were born, and the president said, no way, no how. And Nancy Pelosi cursed him for that. Good is God created man and woman for each other. One man for one woman. Man should leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they too shall become one flesh. As a physical union takes place, they become as one flesh. Literally, only God could prepare something like that. The other side on evil says it's okay, it's the law. Supreme Court voted and said men can marry men and women can marry women. And next thing you'll be able to marry donkeys and baboons and anything else you want to marry because it's evil. And I could go on. The main determination is not Democrat, Republican. The main determination is life or death. What are they for? Life or death? Can you imagine the millions of babies that's been aborted in America? Who knows but what one of those babies would have been a genius that would have had a cure for cancer in our lifetime. One of those babies could have cured heart disease in our lifetime. One of those babies that were aborted and no longer could have been a great physician or a great leader of our nation that would keep us in a godly state, but no more, they're gone because of evil. I don't care about the name Republican. I don't care about the name Democrat. I'm seeing different shades now. I'm not even seeing black and white, red, yellow, green, purple. Every man on the face of this earth, when you stick him, bleeds red blood. Because we're a member of the human race. I love my black brothers and sisters. I love my red brothers and sisters. I love my yellow brothers and sisters. I love my brown brothers and sisters. But now wait a minute. We're part of the human race. The Bible says right here, look, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord. My reason for rejoicing is verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. I am righteous because of his sacrifice. I am righteous because he took my sin and died for it. He took my sin and gave me his righteousness. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thank God. How we rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. The word righteous means, the word righteous is an old Saxon word. You know the Saxons. They were part of the Anglos. And they mixed the Anglos and the Saxons. And it was kind of like the Hatfields and McCoys, but they got together and straightened it all out. Look, Saxon, rightwise. The word righteous means literally in the old Saxon language, rightwise, wise, wisdom, wise, rightwise. And it came out righteous. One who is holy in heart and observant of the divine commands in practice. As a righteous man. How many of those evil senators in Congress and the House right now, if you ask a show of hands, how many of y'all are Christians, would raise their hands? Probably almost every one of them, except the known Muslims that are in there. Because their mamas and daddies were Christians, or because they're a member of a church somewhere, they say, I'm a Christian. You cannot be a blood-bought, born-again Christian if you are willfully murdering unborn children and willfully giving rights to the sodomites to be like those that God has ordained for marriage, not those kinds of individuals. Righteous. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, those who are observing in practice the divine commandments of God. We can go to the scriptures. I don't have time. That's not my intent today, is to go and show you about abortion and show you about sodomy and show you about bestiality and show you about lesbianism and show you about all of those horrors that are willfully practiced and promoted and protected by the law in America. Oh God, revive us again. Oh God, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely. For praise is comely for the upright. That's you and me. We're righteous. We've been blood bought. We're born again, children of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. That makes us righteous. The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. In practice, you are practicing the law of God. In practice, you are not a murderer. In practice, you're not a sodomite. In practice, you're not any of those things. That makes you upright. And here he says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise. That's what we should be doing. Amen, Lord. I believe what he says. Hallelujah, God. You're on the throne. The blood matters. And your priority is before us. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely. In other words, it's all right for you to have a little shouting fit once in a while, even drool down the corners of your mouth when you get excited about God. It's okay. He said, praise is comely for the upright. The word comely means decent, suitable, proper, becoming, suited to the time, the place, the circumstance, or the persons. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise is decent. Praise is suitable. Praise is proper, becoming. It's all right. It is right for you to praise your God, to get excited about God and what He's doing and has done for you. None of you here would have a house to live in were it not for God. And none of you here would have a job. Oh, but I know so. It doesn't give a rip who you know or what you know. It's all about God providing. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Go with me to verse 2. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice. Sing unto him a new song. What is that song? I want you to look in the 40th Psalm in verse number 3. Actually, verse 1, 40th Psalm, verse 1, David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. If you don't ever cry unto the Lord, he can't hear you. If you don't ever pray with regularity, he's not going to listen. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and establish my goings. Thank God for it. I was lost and on my way to hell, but Jesus set my feet on the solid rock, the rock of ages, Jesus Christ himself. Listen, verse 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. Oh, those old songs you used to sing, all those old country western garbage about getting drunk and your dog being shot and run over and somebody stealing your pickup truck with your gun in it and all that junk about those country western songs are all garbage. But when you got saved and you became a child of God, he put a new song in your heart and in your soul, a song of deliverance. I've been delivered. I'm no longer dead and dying. I'm alive and living because of Christ and what he's done. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud or such as turn aside to lies. Respecteth not the proud. It means does not give obeisance to, does not give obedience to, does not give a following to the proud. And I'm brought to remembrance and to mind the Democratic governors of those states that have shut their states down completely, and people are starving up there. It's time for a little bit of spiritual rebellion, if you want to know what I think. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Give the Lord a chance. Have you prayed about it first? And respecteth not the proud or such as turn aside to lies. We're looking in the 33rd Psalm. A new song. A song of deliverance. Deliverance. I've been saved. I'm born again. He delivered me. What about my nation? I see a rift in my nation at present time. And part of it is evil and part of it is righteous. And I detest the evil side. It's not right that those people should have the same rights. I'm saying it. Should have the same rights as the rest of us in a nation where they paid no price for it. They sacrificed nothing for it. But they're crybaby wannabes that want what they want and they want it now. And they're using everything to get that source. I heard one, hey, if you don't give us what we want, we're going to burn it down. Oh, be careful what you say. I have relatives who've served in the battlefields around the world. You have relatives. Perhaps you did yourself. And for these 18, 19, 20, 30-year-olds to stand up and burn down the cities because they're not getting what they want, I can tell you in a heartbeat what I would do with them. I honestly believe Trump can stop it overnight if they would just turn him loose. In a way, I'm kind of glad it's gone the direction it's gone. There's a wake-up call for a lot of Americans. I heard people the other night giving testimony. They said, one old woman said, I voted Democrat my whole life, but I'm changing it this election. I can't believe Democrats have allowed this evil and all of this horror that's going on. I've seen them for what they truly are. They've really never ever done anything for me like they promised they would. I'm voting for Trump this year. Thank God for people who have a reality check. Maybe this is a good eye-opening thing for people, huh? Where was I? The 40th Psalm, I'm finished. I want you to look at what he says. Here he says, he's put a new song. Sing a new song. Verse 3, Psalm 33. Sing a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice. Deliverance. I've been saved. My nation needs to be delivered. My nation right now needs to be delivered. Not from an outside enemy, but from the inside enemy. We have socialists and communists. We have Marxists. We have atheists. We have sodomites. We have all the rest that are inside our nation that are not part of me. I don't attest to them. I don't relate to them. I'm not part of them. My people didn't go to war for them, but it went to war for those who honor and serve God and are who are patriotic to the flag and salute the flag and pledge allegiance. Amen. America's greatness. What an opportunity for God to intervene and show himself great. What an opportunity when we wring our hands and say, what can we do? What can we do? We can pray. We can plead. We can cry aloud hour upon hour to Almighty God to deliver our nation from the evil that's present at hand. We could and we should do that. I'm reminded of Gideon's nation that was overrun with evil. And as you read it in Judges chapter 6, you read the story, and verse 1 says, Israel has a problem with the Midianites because Israel did wrong when they turned their backs on God. You and I may be in the situation where we are at the present time in America so that God would remind us that as America has turned her back on Almighty God and dismissed God from the courthouses, dismissed God from the public school system, dismissed the Bible and the Bible reading because of one nut who stood up and said, it offends me and it's unconstitutional that as an atheist I should have to bow to your God. Well, we ought to have said to her, well, thank God he's still here. We invite you and pay your way to Cuba and you can be there tomorrow. That's what we should have done. We are where we are because we didn't have backbone enough to stand up. We thought that being kind and compassionate, we're supposed to allow those people to run over us and that somehow in the future God's going to right all the wrong. That's where God gave us a nation. And God expects us as stewards to take care of it and to protect it and to be the extension of His arm as we go forth in righteousness and holiness rather than allowing evil just to take over and say, well, what are we going to do? Well, you little pacifist, what are we going to do, you little pacifist? You grew up and your mama taught you not to fight, didn't they? You grew up and you let everybody run over. You weren't the bully. You were the one the bullies looked for because you were easy target. That's the way the evil ones look at Americans right now. You're easy. You're easy. God never said you had to roll over and play dead for them. As a matter of fact, He said you're more than conquerors through Him. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Get up and prove it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Prove it. Sit on your laurels and be a pacifist and wait for somebody else to do it for you. It's not the way God intended for it to be. Gideon said, oh God. God said, hey, the angel of the Lord came. I believe it was the Lord Himself. Appeared to Gideon. And he said, oh, thou mighty man of valor, I'm going to save Israel by your hand. He said, who, me? He said, you, Gideon. The evil that pervaded the land. The evil that was there continuously. And God called Gideon a man of valor. Let me run over here real quick. You know what valor means? It means to be strong, to have strength. To be worth. Valor means strength of mind in regard to danger. It doesn't mean you're looking for a rabbit hole to crawl in. Strength of mind means you're ready to stand and fight. Strength of mind in regard to danger. That quality which... I can't read my own writing. That quality which a man who encounters danger with firmness and personal bravery has, true grit. True grit. Gideon was that kind of man. We did a study on him once before, you remember. He came from the warring tribes of Israel. He was a man of war. He'd been trained to fight. And he had a stubborn will about him that he would stand his ground and fight to the last drop of blood. God said, thou mighty man of valor. This is where God and one man made a difference in the history of a whole nation. When God revived Israel again because of the valor of one man. Does it sound familiar? There is one man in America at the present time that has the power to do this. one man in America right now that has the grit and the determination to do this, even when he has to stand against his own kind and his own people. There was one man who has the grit and could be called a man of valor of the hour. When even those who are supposed to be some of us have turned their backs on him and tried to destroy him. Over 25 assassination attempts against Donald Trump before he had the oath of office in January, back when he won the election. Between the time the election was over and he was sworn into office, there were over 25 assassination attempts against his life. O thou mighty man of valor. And he keeps saying, America, if you'll follow me, I've got your backs. I have your back. I believe he does. This is not a sermon about nor an advertisement for Donald Trump, but it is for the fact that sometimes we look through the names and we look through the circumstances and we see God's hand. And God is saying, it's now or never. And sometimes we see the presence of God where he tries his own people and says, you have enough grit to pray? You have enough grit to stand? Do you have enough grit? Here's a leader. We're praying for a leader. He's already here. I believe Trump and Pence and Attorney General Barr are some good men. I'm not talking about the fact if they've been divorced or not. I'm not going there. Many of you have been divorced. Does not make you a bad person. Sometimes we learn from the horrible mistakes of life. If you want to know what a person's character is like, look at his children. Look at his children's children. Look at the people around that he affects and how they are affected. Look at what he stands for. Life. Giving you a job. A husband and a wife. One man, one woman. I like those things immediately. Versus kill the unborn. Marry the sodomites and lesbians. And let's do away with capitalism and go to socialism. I detest all of that. Get rid of that. Oh God, deliver us from evil. So you see, Gideon was one man who stood up and God used him because he was a man of valor. He had principle, he had character, and he stuck by it. And he was on God's side, and God was on his side. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud voice. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. All his works are done in truth. All his works are done in truth. There is no truth in abortion. There is no truth in homosexuality. There is no truth in socialism and communism. There is no truth in riots and destruction. He will work in his truth. The word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Look at the 11th Psalm, Psalm 11. Look at it with me. In verse number 1, in the Lord put I my trust. How say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. Man, if I had an island, I'd get over there right now, somebody says. No, that's not the right thing. The right thing is not to run from this. The right thing is to stand and pray and see the glory of the God fall and make it right again. That's the thing to do. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? There you are. What are we doing? We're in a contest for the foundations of America. The foundations are good and strong, but only if you build upon them. If you try to substitute them, it won't work. If you try to change them, it won't work. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous. Look at verse 5. The Lord, Jesus, trieth. He examines, he proves, he scrutinizes. He's scrutinizing your life, your thoughts, your character, your integrity. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. You ought to love what God loves and hate what God hates. You don't compromise with evil. Those people that are trying to burn down Portland, Seattle, Chicago, Dallas, Austin, all these other places, I can tell you in a heartbeat, they would not be on the streets this time tomorrow night if I were in charge. You don't make agreements and compromise with evil. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. That's what Psalm 33:5 says. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. I'm in Psalm 33:7. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Are you praying for God's glory to be revealed? Oh Lord, just give me some more. I need a raise, Lord. We're so selfish. We're not praying for the goodness of our nation, for the goodness of our grandchildren and our great and those behind. We're not looking for those to be blessed. We're just praying for our selfish needs and our selfish desires. Goodbye. See y'all. Have a blessed day. We're not over yet, but okay, goodbye. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his hearts to all generation. God's truth is to every generation. It never changes. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Oh, America's greatness. America has reaped the benefits of God's presence. Number one, the thing that makes America great is God's presence. President Trump said not long ago, quote, if we lose the presence of God in America, we lose America. He knows that much. If we lose the presence of God in America, we lose America. I could go into great detail and tell you of all the way back to George Washington's army and how that the very hand of God was seen in every turn of the battle when this ragtag team had no ability to stand up against the organized army of the King of England. And yet this bunch of ragtags, these farmers and merchants, preachers and churches fought and defeated the most organized, the most monetarily backed and well-equipped army of the entire world in that day and time, that ragtag army of the continental United States defeated the king's army because of the hand of God and his presence. Oh, they had to fight. They had to sacrifice. They suffered on some occasions. But they had God on their side and they won in the end. I can tell you about the Battle of Midway in World War II and how that victory turned on Japan's engine trouble and catapulted on one of the ships that would send out a search plane to see where the Navy of America was and find her carriers. And the plane that was supposed to be catapulted off of that deck was due to go in the direction that America's Navy was speeding towards the Japanese Imperial Navy at full speed. And the plane could not get off the deck because of a malfunction of catapult. Something like an hour later, it finally got off. But that 1 hour delay helped America win the battle and defeat Japan's Navy in that battle. Again and again, we see the hand of God in Desert Storm and other in Vietnam and so many places around the world where God's been on the side of America. But I'm afraid to say that I don't think America's always been on the side of God. The thing that's made America great in the years gone by has been the fact that America has reaped the benefits of God's presence and God's hand upon us. The second thing, America is great because America has been good. America is great because America has been good. Listen to me. As we look at America at the present time and all the smoke ascending up from these cities, we don't think so much that America is great or good anymore. We're seeing the scum come to the top. We're seeing the dregs of the bottom of the cup being turned over. We're seeing the worst of the worst. We're seeing little mama's babies and crybabies that don't know how to work a day in their lives stand up and riot by night and burn and loot and pillage. And oh, they're so brave when they have an individual on the ground and they can come up from behind him and kick him in the head and knock him out cold. They're so brave when they attack an old man or an old woman. They're so brave when they break the bones and rupture the spleens and cause the blood to come from the ears and the nose. They're so brave against those old people. I wonder how they would be if one pulled a 45 on them and began to fill them with lead. I wonder how brave they would be. So brave. I told a Mexican friend of mine came to our house a few months ago with one of the plumbers that came. He saw my Bible on the chair. I had it open. He said, "You're a preacher?" I said, "Yeah." He asked me, he said, "What do you think about the Second Amendment?" I said, "Why you ask me that?" He said, "I just want to know, what do you think about the Second Amendment?" I said, "I tell you this. I said, God made man, but Samuel Colt made man equal." He said, "Samuel..." I said, "Samuel Colt, apparently you don't know our history. Samuel Colt invented the revolver. And it was said that Samuel Colt made man equal." I said, "That's what I believe about the Second Amendment, that God has given us the right to defend ourselves. Not the government, God." His eyes got about that big. America is great because America is good. Listen to this statement, I wrote it. There's still an element of righteousness in our nation. And you and I that are righteous and love the Lord ought to be begging and pleading with God every day to destroy the evil element that's within us. Not roll over and play passive and say, "I don't know how we're..." Listen, in 4 years we're going to have to go through this again. Unless something changes. Begging God to get rid of that evil element. When they finally get in complete control and complete power, you will not recognize this nation 60 days afterwards. America is good because America is great. While many nations have come and gone from Egypt to Babylon to ancient Rome, they've looked for the destruction of Israel and Jerusalem. But America has been the Jews' friend and Israel's friend. And this is the only president, whether you like him or not, this is the only president that followed through with his word and moved our embassy to the city of Jerusalem and recognized Jerusalem as the official capital of Israel. You say, so what? Big deal. That's biblical. It's prophetic. You're living on borrowed time. We're in the last days. Hopefully it'll be over this week. But no man knows the day nor the hour. But what a great opportunity you and I as Christians have to see that God can come in and revive America, get rid of the evil element at the same time, though we might be smaller and we might be a little weaker in power. I don't know that that would be true. It would be worth it all to get rid of the evil and not have to deal with it again. The last reason that America is great is because America has a heritage of people who stood for and followed God's will and God's word. Followed God's will and God's word. I believe with all of my soul that America is a gift from God to the Christian people of this nation. And I also believe that God empowered those men who sat down together and prayed and came up with the Constitution of the United States and the Articles. I believe that he gave them wisdom to know how to put all of that together and put it together for my and your good at the present time. And I don't agree with the evil element that wants to change the Constitution and not go by it anymore. No. Get rid of them. America has a heritage of people who stood and followed God's will and God's word. I'm finishing. Listen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, those two verses, 13 and 14. Listen to what it says, and still relevant. God was talking about his nation Israel, but God has another nation called America as well. In verse 13, he says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. We can't turn the evil from their wicked ways unless God either gets rid of them or we in hand have a leader that knows how and either puts them in prison or gets rid of them, one or the other. Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. God, make America great again. God, revive America, that it be a place for my grandchildren and my grandchildren's children and yours as well. Because if it keeps going the way it is, it's going to be hell on earth. You want to know what it's going to look like? Go back and read and look at what happened in Russia at the turn of the last century when the Bolsheviks came in and took power and killed off all the intelligent people, killed off all of the leadership, killed off all of the pastors and the churches. Go look and see what happened there when they changed from a capitalist to a socialist and eventually a communistic nation. Go see what happened there. Go look in Vietnam and China. Look in Cuba. Look in all of those places and see if that's a place you'd want to live. That's where America's headed if God doesn't revive the righteousness of this nation again. Father, thank you.